This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abayim. We have an amazing topic tonight. Parshas Ekev, Jewish humor. Mika Amcha Yisrael. The week before Tisha B'Av, when we talk about disaster, everybody flocks to the shir. Everybody loves depressing topics. Now we're giving a shir about Jewish humor? Nah. Who wants to hear about something funny? Yeah, they like things that make them depressed. Anyway, okay. So the shirim of Tavshin Pei Vav are dedicated by Israeli family of great neck, Nishmas Malka Bas Yosef, and into him Nuchasa, she should be Mlitzi Yishar for her family, Ad Biasko Tzedek. Also dedicated as is Ruchus Rafur Shalema for Nasan Ben Menucha, Shem Shesen Rafur Shalema, Bekarav Besar Shechal Yisrael. Sefer Devarim are again generously sponsored by Dr. Zaka Mishpachta, Lila Nishmas, Rivka Bas Tuvia, Reb David Ben Reb Yaakov Tzvi HaKohen. And I think I'm missing a name. Got cut off. And it's going to come. Get me the other name. And Sefer Devarim is also dedicated by Mrs. Yehudit Herman, Lili Nishmas, Harab Shabsi, Benish Ben Moshe. Tonight's shir is dedicated Lili Nishmas, Michla Bas Yechezkel Halevi. Now, it's a good thing that you came tonight. You may have seen, last night we premiered the epic video, You Could Make It Happen, B'Yameinu. Now, don't raise your hand. Make sure you see the video, You Could Make It Happen, B'Yameinu. It will change your life forever. Until you watch that video, maybe you came to shul, let's say, once in a while with a phone. So let's say if you come to shul with a phone, you're not actually praying. That's not actually davening. See, davening is davening with all of your heart, with all of your focus. It is not humanly possible to daven with all your focus if your phone is on you. Now, over the last couple of days, I've received many shilas of people who feel very important for them to have their phone. For example, somebody sent me, their wife needs them to have their phone. So what should they do? The answer is they should not bring their phone. First, listen to the other 7,000 things your wife asks you. Why did you decide to pick this one? This is the one thing you want to listen to your wife about? All of a sudden, she asks you to take out the garbage. You didn't do it. She asks you to clean up your socks. First, take your socks off the floor. Then clean out, take out the garbage. Then you could come back with your question. Then there's another guy. He wants to know, could he put his phone on silent? And the answer is absolutely not. That doesn't help. You can't have it on you. If it's on you, you're distracted. Now, let's say people want to know, that's very strict. Is anyone allowed to bring a phone into shul? Yes, if your mother isn't Jewish, you could bring your phone into, they could bring their phone to shul. If you're a Jew and you want to pray, then you have to leave it. Now, so as soon as the shir is over, make sure you watch the video and sign up to commit yourself to be a member of those Jews who want the Beis HaMikdash to come. But if, let's say, you enjoy the delay of the Geula, continue to bring the stupid phone into the shul. That's my message for this evening. Now we're going to start the shir. Okay. Now the shir, that was very serious. I was serious about that. Now what if somebody has a medical emergency? They should ask their Rav, or they should ask me, okay, whether this is a good enough reason to bring it in. Now, I've got an amazing comments from, literally, we have, of those committed, we have people in Rome, we have people in Niagara Falls Shul, we have people in Cincinnati, we even have people in Cedarhurst, we have people in Muncie, so we have people from around the world already who have joined up. Okay, Parshas Ekev. V'haya Ekev Tishmon, and it will be Ekev, the reward. Targum says Chalaf Tishmon. If you listen to the mitzvahs, the Ben La'ashri, the tzaddik of Ranana, has an amazing remez on this pasuk. We once spoke it out a couple years ago in the famous shir called Ekev, good jokes. Do you remember that shir? Ekev, good jokes, as opposed to bad jokes. Most jokes that you hear rabbis try to make are not necessarily good jokes. Present company excluded, okay? But That shir was Akev good jokes. But today's shir is a different shir completely. No connection to the good joke shir. Don't think that this is a rerun. There are no reruns. Or actually, in general, there aren't reruns Wednesday night. It says the Ben Lashri, Vahaya is a lashon of simcha. Vahaya, we know Vayehi is a lashon of tsar, and Vahaya is a lashon of simcha. The Gemara says in Shabbos, before you learn, it's a good idea to have a joke. Before you learn, it's a good idea to have a joke. Now, but that's if it's actually a joke, like I said before. If, let's say, the Magid Shir is not capable of saying a joke, there are many. They could give a good shir, but let's say when it comes to jokes, that's not their forte. They're as good as making jokes as cooking, let's say. So then they should avoid saying the joke. It's only a joke you should say in the beginning of the shir. It's a Gemara in Shabbos. Rabbah, we spoke about this many times. Rabbah lived a very difficult life. He would always begin his shir with Milsa Dibdi Chusa, and the rabbis would laugh, and then he would say the shir. Everything is merumas in the Torah. So it says, V'haya. V'haya is a lashon of simcha. When should you be besimcha? Ekev. Ekev stands for Koidem Esek Batoira. Before you learn. You should be besimcha before you learn. And if you do, Tishma'un. You'll have understanding, even Es HaMishpatim, even the very difficult laws of Dinei Mamonos. Ha'ela. Ela is a lashon of kasha. Even very difficult halachas. Because when you hear a light remark, when you hear a good joke, it opens up the mind. Sometimes people come in, they're very stressed, they're very tense, they're very tight, you know? Some people are coming to the shir, pow, relax, you know, take a deep breath. So you give a shir, you give a joke, and all of a sudden, they breathe easy, and then they understand all the deep chidushim in the shir. Okay, so let us begin with a very important gemara in Masechta Nedarim. Since I like to talk about Nedarim, and I like to talk about Daf Nun, I'm going to tell you the story on Daf Nun. The story goes like this. Rebbe made a wedding for his son, Reb Shimon. And what happened was, Rebbe had a student. The student was not that much younger than him. His student was Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara should sound familiar to you. He's mentioned in Karbanos, yeah? Do you remember Bar Kapara? Yeah. Bar Kapara was a student. Everyone and his third cousin was invited to Rebbe's wedding. Rebbe was very well connected. Rebbe was Rabbi Judah the prince. He was not only the Gadol Hadar, but he was the political leader of the Jewish people. He was very well connected, including with the Roman government. You can imagine it was a tremendous wedding. And the cost of the wedding was about the Gemara says, Bar Kapara was not invited to the wedding. Can you imagine? Rebbe's prized student was not invited to the wedding. So Bar Kapara was insulted. So he graffitied the wedding hall. Bar Kapara graffitied the wedding hall. He wrote 24,000 myriad of coins Rebbe spent on the wedding hall, and he didn't invite me? A chutzpah. He spent 24 million coins on the wedding hall, and I wasn't invited? And then Bar Kapara made the following insulting remark. If this is the money that violators of the will of Hashem is given, if Hashem rewards those who violate His will, certainly those who fulfill His will, how much their reward will be in Olam Haba? Wow, that's pretty tough. Bar Kapara called Rebbe someone who violates the will of Hashem. Bar Kapara said, if this is the reward for those who violate the will of Hashem, namely my Rebbe, who's not inviting me, it's like, you know, Kamsa Bar Kamsa here. He didn't invite me to the wedding? If this is the money that God gives those who violate His will, Al Achas Kama V'Kama, those who fulfill His will. Now, if you look in the Mefarish, there's no Rashi on the Dhamma, if you look in the Mefarish, the Mefarish says the reason Rebbe didn't invite Bar Kapara is Bar Kapara was an expert Barchen. Bar Kapara was hilarious. I'm saying like really funny. Like, and Rebbe didn't want to laugh. Rebbe was a serious guy. Rebbe never laughed. In fact, the Gemara continues, any day Rebbe laughed, it brought disaster to the world. Because Rebbe was the father and the leader of the Jewish people, who his mind and his heart was always focused on his people. If his mind would ever be distracted from Klal Yisrael, it brought disaster to the world. But apparently, he invited Bar Kappara. Apparently, when Bar Kappara insulted him and he said, if God gives so much money to those who violate his will, certainly those who fulfill the will of Hashem will be rewarded. So ultimately, Bar Kappara managed to wiggle his way into the chasana. Rabbi said to Bar Kappara, don't make me laugh. Don't make me laugh. I'm telling you now, don't make me laugh. If you don't make me laugh, I'll give you 40 measurements of wheat. Basically, I'll pay you not to make me laugh. Rabbi was very serious. Don't stop smiling. Rabbi was very serious. Rabbi said, if you make me laugh, don't make me laugh. I'll pay you if you don't make me laugh. So Bar Kappara said, listen here. Whatever I'm going to want to take from you, I'm going to take from you. I'm going to get money from you whether I make you laugh or not. So what did Bar Kappara do? He took a big basket. He lined it with tar so that no wheat should fall out of the wicker. And then he proceeded to turn it upside down and wear it on his head. Now, it seems like he's trying to hide his identity. He was doing the most absurd thing in the world because he was expecting Rebbe to put wheat in his basket. The only thing is, if it's upside down, the wheat, he tars it so not even one wheat could fall out. The problem is it's upside down in his hat and he looks like a clown. And that's how he comes into the wedding. But sure enough, Rebbe probably recognized his voice and he makes the following announcement. Give me the 40 measurements of wheat that I'm entitled to. What? No, you're not entitled to it. You're not. Rebbe laughed. Rebbe laughed. he says, give me the wheat. Oh, the wheat. He's dressed like a clown. There's nowhere to put the wheat because the thing is tarred, but it's upside down. So Rebbe laughed. Rebbe said, I told you not to make me laugh. I can't believe it. You came in here and within 1 second you had me rolling. He said, no, I just came to get my wheat. I didn't come to make you laugh. Which is deadpan, you know? You know, he said, I didn't come to make you laugh. Here he is, this big rabbi. Imagine a rabbi comes and he's wearing a wicker basket with tar on his head. The tar is dripping off his face. Bar Kappara now turns to Rebbe's daughter. And he says to Rebbe's daughter, tomorrow we're going to drink wine watching your father dance and your mother sing. Now, what in the world? His mother sing? Now Bar Kappara wants Rebbe's wife to sing? Bar Kappara wants Rebbe's wife to sing? What kind of singing is this? It seems Ben Yoyada says that in the Oriental countries, women would, you know, maybe so, any, what do they do at the weddings? You know? How do they do it? Yeah, like by Leah's chasana, you know? So that might not be considered Kalisha, right? That might not be considered Kalisha. Anyway, Rebbe had a son-in-law, Ben Elasa, who was very wealthy. Rebbe invited, now Rebbe's son-in-law, was extremely wealthy. And at the wedding, Bar Kappara starts asking Rebbe questions. Now, usually, if you go to a chasana, you need to have some courtesy. You know, sometimes people, it's irrelevant where they are. You know, sometimes I give a shir, and after shir, someone, you know, you mind if I ask you a question about, you know, wearing galoshes when it snows outside? We just finished the shir, you know, maybe on a different occasion. Some people, it's irrelevant what the context is. They could be at a wedding, they could be at a funeral. You mind if I ask you some alumda shakasha? The guy is dead right in front of us. Maybe you could wait for a different occasion. I know learning is important, but like you have to know your surroundings. Anyway, Bar Kappara asked Rebbe, the pasuk says that if you have relations with a man, you're called a toyeva. This is what Bar Kappara is asking Rebbe at his son's wedding. Where does the word toyeva come from? I mean, you know, everything in learning is important, but you don't go to your Rebbe's wedding and start asking him about, what does abomination mean? You know, imagine like, you know, you're at a wedding and your Rebbe is walking his son down to the chuppah, and he said, Rebbe, yeah, well, I have a shayla. Yeah, okay, what's a shayla? I'm learning the pasuk of tayeva. What does tayeva mean? I mean, you're out of your mind. What kind of a question? That's the question that Bar Kappara asked Rebbe. Now, Bar Kappara here obviously has a very deep kavana, and Rebbe said, this answer, that answer, Bar Kappara shrugged him up at his own at his kid's wedding. So Rebbe got fed up. He said, you tell me what Toyeva means. So Bar Kappara says, give me a drink. Bar Kappara says, I'm only going to tell you if you pour me some wine. So Rebbe pours him some wine. So he said, okay, that's a good start. It's a good start. Now, I need you to dance for me. Okay, Rebbe's an anav. He starts doing a jig for Bar Kappara. So Bar Kappara says, okay, very good. You gave me a drink and you danced for me. I'll tell you what Toyeva is. Toyeva means Toya Ata Ba. You're straying with this. You're straying with this. Why are you going after this? There are more natural ways of engaging in this activity. You're straying after this. And then Bar Kappara asks Rebbe, what does Tevel mean? It says if somebody lives with their sister, Tevel who? It's a little bit of not a typical question you would ask your Rebbe at the wedding of his son. His son is a man, a boy, marrying a lady. Why is he asking him about Mishkav Zachar, about incestual relationships between someone and their sister? So Rebbe gave one answer, another answer. Bar Kappara says, nah, that's weird. Nah, you're wrong. So Rebbe said, you say. He said, no, pour me a drink and I'll say. So Rebbe pours him a drink. He said, now dance for me. So Rebbe does a jig for Bar Kappara. And he says, Tevel is, there's no spice in this. There's spice in this? What do you see in this relations that's not present in a normal relationship? And then Bar Kappara asks, what's zima? I mean, these are like the most lewd words that the most promiscuous, the words to describe low activity. This is what Bar Kappara is asking Rebbe. Finally, the son-in-law is standing there. He can't take it anymore. The student is abusing Rebbe. He's asking him these absurd questions. He got up and he left. Ben Alasso walks out of the chasana. This is the story. Bar Kappara was determined to make Rebbe laugh. Bar Kappara was a badchan par excellence, and he came to the most serious man in history, Rebbe. Rebbe, when he died, when he was about to die, he lifted up his 10 fingers, Gemara Ksuba says, and he swore that he didn't benefit from this world even a pinky's full. Rebbe never laughed. If Rebbe cracked a smile, there were earthquakes in the world. And Bar Kappara came in. He took his wicker basket. He limed it with tar. He put it on his head like a clown. And Rebbe just broke out laughing. It's interesting. We don't know of any disasters that happened that day. This is the Gemara. What exactly is going on? And really, what's most difficult is how did Bar Kappara, who is one of the Gedolei Olam, Bar Kappara was a Tana. A Tana, we can't even fathom the greatness of a Tana. Bar Kappara should call Rebbe Ivrei Ritzonoi, someone who violates the will of Hashem. And if he did insult his Rebbe, why would Rebbe invite him to the party after that? Imagine like this. Rebbe decided, you know, I'm going to invite Yankel and Beryl and Feivel, and I'm going to invite Romans. I'm not going to invite Bar Kappara. Why? Because he's going to make me laugh. So Bar Kappara says, yeah, watch this. Hey, Rebbe, you violate the will of Hashem. Oh, that really ingratiated himself with his Rebbe. Now then the next day he got an invitation in the mail. What was Rebbe waiting for? He was waiting for a good enough insult to invite Bar Kappara. So if you look at Rebbe Akiva Eger on the page in the Darim, Rebbe Akiva Eger says, Ayin b'shailas u'tshuvas shavus Yaakov, davar nechmad. Look in the tshuvas of Rebbe Yaakov Reisher, the shavus Yaakov, for a beautiful explanation of this Gemara. And the Shvus Yaakov says an amazing approach over here. He says, if you want to be able to define what is someone who's Oivrei Ritzainai, one who violates the will of Hashem, and who is someone who's Oisin Ritzainai, we need to look throughout Shas how the expression Oivrei Ritzainai is used and how the expression Oisin Ritzainai is used. Well, the last Gemara, Masechta Makos, tells us the story of Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar ben Azariah and Rav Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva. They were walking and they heard tumultuous roar coming from the great metropolitan city of Rome. And it was traveled 120 mil. And the rabbi started to cry. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva. Well, these Tanoim, besides Rabbi Akiva, began to cry. They said, how could it be that these Gentiles that bow to Avodah Zarah and they bring Ketores Avodah Zarah, they're dwelling in such security and in such victory and in such joy, and our Beis HaMikdash, the footstool of Hashem, was burnt in fire and we're suffering? They began to cry. They couldn't understand why the Gentiles were so prosperous and so successful. And Rabbi Akiva laughed. So they asked Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? The Romans who destroyed our temple are shouting in victory and you're laughing? Rabbi Akiva says, exactly. If this is the reward for those who are oivrin Ritzayno Shalmakayim, imagine the reward for those who will fulfill Ritzayno Shalmakayim. By the way, it's interesting. The Chida writes that he once visited the Tower of London. And in the Tower of London, he saw the Queen's jewels. He saw the whole collection. You know, the crowns and the scepters and tremendous wealth and glory. And the Chida said, Im la'ovrei ritzoinai kach, if this is what those who violate the will of Hashem received, la'oisin ritzoinai alachas kama v'kama, imagine the malchus, the glory of the Melech HaMashiach. Remember, we once used that when King Charles was inaugurated. So he came out in the royal carriage and he showed all the royal wealth. So we invoked that chida. So what do we see from this Gemara? We see that the oivrei ritzoinai, sometimes those who violate the will of Hashem inspire us to laugh. Because if this is the reward in store for the Oivrei Ritzoinai, those who violate the will of Hashem, imagine how much reward is in store for those who fulfill the reward of Hashem. So in a way, we see from this Gemara Makos that those who violate the will of Hashem inspire us to laugh in this world. Interesting halacha. The Gemara Brachos teaches, on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Misham Rashbi, it is usur for a person, sheyimole schoik piv ba'olam hazeh. You're not allowed to fill your mouth with laughter. You're not allowed to fill. So let's say if I make a joke, you could laugh, but don't like mamish fall off your chair. You're not allowed to do that. You have to control, brace yourself. Do whatever you have to do. Sometimes it's a skula to look at your fingernails. Let's say, you know, you feel like you're going to laugh and you can't control it. Look at your fingernails. It's a skula, not a... So sometimes I know I make a joke. Usually this happens. You're going to hit the ceiling or something. You have to control yourself. You're not allowed to just completely lose it. Shenemar, oz yimole schoik pinu. Then laughter will fill your mouth. When? Higdol, when the goyim say, oz yoimru vagoyim, higdol Hashem lasisim ele. When the goyim say that Hashem dealt greatly with the Jewish people, then you could laugh. But now, ba'olam hazeh, you can't laugh. It's brought lahalacha in Archayim Siman Tav Kof Samach, asur la'adam sheyimale piv schoik, ba'olam hazeh. Comes the Taz. The Taz says, if you look in the Torah says, you're not allowed to laugh, ba'olam hazeh, in the gullus. You can't laugh in the gullus. So what? And when Mashiach comes, you could laugh? So then it depends. If, says the Taz, when Mashiach comes, if it's a simcha shel mitzvah, or it's a chasana, or it's a simchas v'yitzah shreva, when Mashiach comes, you could laugh completely. But nowadays in the gullus, even simcha shel mitzvah, it has to be with some modicum of control. So comes the Shvus Yaakov, and he says, what the Gemara means in Adarim, what Bar Kapora meant, was Bar Kapora and Rebbe had a fundamental machlokes, how you should conduct yourself in the times of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Rebbe lived in the times of the Chorban. Rebbe held in the times of the Chorban, you have to be very serious. You're never allowed to laugh. You don't smile. You have to be very somber. You have to be very serious because we have Chorban Beis HaMikdash. It will distract us from remembering the Beis HaMikdash if a person engages in laughter and levity and lightheartedness. And Bar Kappara disagreed. Bar Kappara had a difference of opinion than Rebbe. Rebbe was afraid in the time of the Golas to laugh at all. However, Bar Kappara held, and that's why he didn't invite Bar Kappara. He didn't invite Bar Kappara because he knew Bar Kappara had a different shita than him. He knew Bar Kappara held that at a Simcha Shal Mitzvah, even Bizman Azeh, you are allowed to laugh. Why? So Rebbe didn't really understand the opinion of Bar Kappara. So Bar Kappara tried to explain it to him. He said, the reason is because im la'ovrei ritzoinoi kach, la'oisei ritzoinoi lachas kama v'kama. I hold you're allowed to laugh like Rabbi Akiva. You're allowed to laugh b'simcha shel mitzvah because if the goyim are laughing and if the goyim have happiness, then you're allowed to laugh and say, if this is the reward for the Gentiles of the world, certainly we're going to have much more reward when Mashiach comes. In other words, Bar Kappara held, you're allowed to laugh for the reasoning of Rabbi Akiva, that if you see the success of the nations of the world, extrapolate from there how good things will be when Mashiach comes. That was the opinion of Bar Kappara. So Bar Kappara wasn't calling Rebbe, you're a violator of the will of Hashem. Bar Kappara was saying to Rebbe, im la'ovrei ritzoinoi kach, if the violators of the will of Hashem have so much success in this world, we should learn from there how much goodness is in store for the Jewish people. We're entitled to laugh now like Rabbi Akiva. Bar Kappara wasn't criticizing Rebbe. Bar Kappara was saying, I'm just exercising the argument of Rabbi Akiva that im la'ovrei ritzoinoi kach, la'oisei ritzoinoi alachas kama v'kama. That is the presentation of the Shvus Yaakov. In other words, there's a concept that one should live with a certain cheshben, not just to laugh loosely without thought. There should be a certain mindfulness. Yeah, that's a very big word these days, mindfulness. We're allowed to engage in laughter, but the purpose is that we're supposed to laugh in anticipation of the goodness that will be in store for us, Be'ezus Hashem, when Mashiach comes. That was the ideology of Bar Kappara. So, on that note, I want to bring to your attention and share with you some of the attitudes of the Gedolei Yisrael throughout the Doros to jokes and laughter. Is it a good idea? Is it not a good idea? What's considered a good joke? What's considered leitzanos? So actually, let's begin with the following joke.
Don't we say mitzvah liyos tamid b'simcha?
No, we don't say that.
What then do we say?
We say ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. No, not that too. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha is a pasuk in Tehillim. Mitzvah gedoyla liyos b'simcha is not found anywhere, not in the Bavli, not in the Yushalmi, not in the Medrash Rabbah, not in the Medrash Tanchuma, not in the Sifri, not in the Sifra, not in the Mechilta. Exactly. Exactly. The Nesivus writes that phrase is not accurate in the theology of Judaism. Although it was said by Rav Nachman of Breslov. However, the Nesivus says that it's not agreed upon, and the Balei Musar also do not recognize that as a Torah value just to be happy always. No. It's you serve Hashem. Yeah, right. I mean, although it's commonly sung and there are many good tunes to it, the Balei Musar do not accept it as an absolute Jewish value. Rav Nachman of Breslov did, the Balei Musar do not. The Nesivus wrote in his Tzava that it's not an accurate, certainly sadness is a something that could be very dangerous, but as an inherent value. Is he a good Jew? He's always happy. Okay, it's nice, it's good. I'm happy for him that he's always happy. But that a person should say, you know, is there something wrong with me? I'm not happy. If you're davening, you're enjoying it. In other words, okay, but we're not talking about this right now. But you asked me, so I told you. Okay? Rabbi Akiva Eger, you know, there's a rule that I like to say, whenever any day you learn Rabbi Akiva Eger is a good day, but now for the first time ever, you're going to hear a joke from Rabbi Akiva Eger. You never thought you would see the day to hear it now. I couldn't believe it. It comes from the holy Sefer Ben La'ashri. You know, the Sefer Berachas HaTzadik is a summary of the Ben La'ashri. The Ben La'ashri said, anybody who learns his Torah and says it over, he'll bail you out from any Torah in this world, next world. Could you imagine the school of saying a joke from the Ben La'ashri? If even saying his Torah, he'll bail you out in this world, next world. Imagine a joke from the Ben La'ashri. Unbelievable. Here we go. He says he heard from his friend Reb Tzvi Rosenberg of Lenchen. Now, back in the day, in order to be a shoychet, you needed to get like a ksav kabbalah that you're an acceptable, authorized shoychet. Rabbi Akiva Eger wrote a ksav shoychet like this. It's a pun on top of a pun on top of a pun. You know, Chazal say regarding the makas b'chayrois, the Jewish people had to stay indoors. Why? Kivan shenitein reshus lemashchis lahashchis. Once the destroying angel is given permission to destroy, shuv eino mavchin bein tzadik l'rasha. He will not tell the difference between a tzadik and a rasha. In other words, once the angel of destruction is loose, he'll kill everyone. So therefore, the Jewish people had to stay indoors. Rabbi Akiva Eger wrote in the Ksav Smicha the following pun: Kivan shenitein reshus lemashchis. Once permission was given to sharpen your knife, lamashchiz, instead of ein mavchin with an aleph, ayin, his eye, mavchin, will differentiate between good and bad. It's hilarious. It's the most lamdish joke you ever heard. You have to be a lamdan. Only someone who could appreciate Rabbi Akiva Eger could appreciate this joke, the holy joke written in the Sefer Ben La'ashri of the Kabbalah that the Rabbi Akiva Eger wrote for Shoychet. Again, Chazal say, Kivan shenitein reshus lamashchis lahashchis, shuv einoi mavchim ein tzadik l'rasha. Rabbi Akiva Eger wrote, Kivan shenitein reshus lamashchis, he was given reshus to sharpen his knife, shuv ayin, his eye is mavchin bein tov l'ra. So apparently Rabbi Akiva Eger had a good sense of humor. Yeah? But there's a big stira, because Rabbi Akiva Eger was once at a simcha, and the shaila was once raised at a time that you're allowed, that you need to eat meat, let's say on Yom Tov, are you yoytze with chicken? Now, the biggest mishagas I've ever heard is during the 9 days, people say that tuna steak was so good, it mamish tasted like a steak. What happened to them? Are you kidding me? How could somebody be so self-delusional to think that a piece of tuna fish could taste like a steak? It's amazing. How could somebody convince themselves that a piece of tuna, but that's beyond the scope of this year. But the shot is chicken meat. So somebody got up and said, it says by the Bris Ben HaBasarim, you know, that in the Bris Ben HaBasarim, they split the sheep, they split the birds, they split the cows. Ve'es hatzipar loy basar. The bird is not meat. Ve'es hatzipar loy basar. A bird is not meat. He laughed, yeah? Ve'es hatzipar loy basar. Literally, he didn't split the bird. No, the zipa loy basar, the bird is not basar. It's not busar. Busar kosher. The bird is not meat. Rabbi Akiva Eger said, Leitzonos! And Rabbi Akiva Eger was so upset, he got up and he left the Suda. Leitzanus, you're making leitzanus of a pasuk? So it's a stira. On the one hand, Rabbi Akiva Eiger himself wrote a ksav Kabbalah, and he made a pun, kivan shanitein rishus lamashchiz einoy mavchim ein ra letoiv. And then, when this guy made a joke that the esatzibur leibasur, Rabbi Akiva Eiger was meicha. Well, when is a joke a good joke, and when is it not? When are you allowed to use a pun, and when are you not allowed to use a pun? It could be like this. You're allowed to use something called melitza. Melitza is using psukim as prose. But that's as long as you're not distorting halacha. If you're distorting halacha, oh, chicken is not meat. That's not what the pasuk means. Now, whether it is or not, it's machlokes achronim. It's not so simple. On Yom Tov, when you need to eat meat, it's not so pashut, you're yotze with chicken. Some say yes, some say not. But it's not that you can't use psukim as prose, it's you can't derive halacha and come to an incorrect conclusion from psukim. Well, now that we're on the topic, one year, the Chidar records in his Magal Tov, he was invited, he was in Amsterdam for Purim, and he went to the home of Reb Shaul of Amsterdam. And he writes, the Chidar records how at the home of Reb Shaul of Amsterdam, there was this elaborate, beautifully set up table that they made for the Rav, a replica of the court and the palace of Achashverosh and the Chatzar HaMelech with Mordechai Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech in Persian clothing. They constructed the whole royal intrigue out of sugar. Somebody, and the Chidah is describing this, and how people came in, and a Badchen came in, and the Chidah records the Purim Torah, the Badchen said in Amsterdam at the end of the 18th century. You want to hear the Purim Torah? Let's say, you know, sometimes there are people that, you know, they're Purim Rav, and they need Purim Torah. So, you know, imagine if you could say over the Purim Torah that the Chidah records. This is the Chidah records, the Purim Torah in the 1770s. Ready? He said a Badchen came in, he asked the following question. It says, Kabeda Savicha V'yasimecha. And it says, by Shiluach HaKein, it says, Laman Yarichon Yamecha. It says by Kibbut Avim, Laman Yarichon Yamecha. And by Shiluach HaKein, it says, Laman Yitav Lach V'harach Yamim. So how could it be that a guy went up on a ladder to listen to his father and mother, to do Shiluach HaKein, and he fell off the ladder and he died? But he's being Mekayim Kibbut Avim, brings long life. Shiluach HaKein brings long life. And this guy went up on a ladder and he fell down and he broke his head and his crown came rolling after, something like that. How could it be? So, by the way, the Gemara asks this question. So the Lamdan says, I'll tell you how. Because it says, Laman Yarichin Yomim Al Ho'adama. You're going to live long on the ground. But the guy went up on a ladder, so he's not on the ground. So that's why he didn't have Arichas Yomim. Then his next shiloh was like this. The Gemara in Chulin says, how do you know you follow Raiv? Frek the Badchen. What do you mean, how you know you follow Raiv? Didn't they hang the 10 sons of Haman? How could they hang them? How do you know for sure they're Haman's sons? You were there. You saw. They saw Haman live with his wife, that they could testify to the patrilineal descent of Haman's sons. How could they kill Haman's sons? It must be we follow the Rav. So why does Gemara in Chulin ask, why do we follow the Rav? We should learn it out from the fact that they hanged Haman's sons. Answers the Barchan. It says Haman made an Eitz Gavaya Chamishimama. And it says by the Teva of Noach, it was 50 amos tall. Just like the Teva of Noach only brought in good animals, so too the gallows of Haman will only hang actual Rishon. So you can't learn out Roiv from there, because we didn't need to be Soimach on the Roiv, because the gallows selected who to hang, just like the Teva of Noach selected which animals to bring in, because it's Chamishimama, Chamishimama. Then the Barchan had one more lamdas. It says, Al Hoetz Asher Heichin Loi. So the Gemara says, Tana Loi Heichin. Haman thought he was preparing the gallows for himself, but really he was preparing it for, I'm sorry, Haman thought he was preparing it for Mordechai, but really he was preparing it for himself. So, Frecht the Badchen, I understand in the end, it turns out that Haman was preparing it for himself, but he didn't know that. So, at the time he was preparing it, how could Chazal say he was preparing it for himself? Says the Badchen, the Gemara says in Be'ah, that a Suda Shabbos is chashuv, so it needs hachana. But on a regular Tuesday, it's not such a chashuv a meal, it doesn't need hachana. So we see from here, only something important needs hachana. Was Mordechai important to Haman? No. It says, Vayivez be'enav. He was mevaze Mordechai. So Haman considered Mordechai very lowly, but he considered himself very chashuv. So if he prepared something, it couldn't have been for Mordechai, it must have been for himself. Now, the Chida didn't say, oh, what late sonus, what shtuyot, this is mamish, a mockery. It looks like the Chida was pretty amused with this. He recorded it. He recorded the Purim Torah. It's in his Sefer. Even though the whole thing is mamish Purim Torah. The whole thing is a joke. But the Chida got a kick out of it, you know? So now, we'll end with this. Rebbe Chanan Wasserman, I was looking for this my whole life. I heard this. I asked Naftali, where does it say this story? I found it today. The you know the Sefer Harei Kedem, the Chidushim, our Chidushim of Yasser Ber Soloveitchik by Rav Shurkin. Yeah? Rav Shurkin also wrote a Sefer of stories. It's called Meged Givois Oilam. So he wrote, the Shita of Rav Chanan Wasserman was, he did not laugh at all. Even if he would come to this shir, and he would hear a joke that you can't control yourself, he would sit there with a straight face. You'd want to dig a hole, and you know, you wouldn't even try that again. He would never say Milsa Dibli Chusa. One time at a chasana, one of the Talmidim of Shmuel Chrakaver made a late sonus. Rabbi Chanan said, please stop that. Stop that. You cause me to be Mamali Pivschaik. They say Rabbi Chanan only laughed three times in his whole life. And one of them was with the following mashal of the Chafetz Chaim. I've definitely heard this. It's in the Sefer. The Chafetz Chaim says, you know what this world is like? You know what the Yetzer Hara is like? The Pasuk says, your clothing should always be white. This joke is not for a general audience, okay? But the Chafetz Chaim said it. I'm just saying, it's not for a general audience. There was once a farmer from the Hick Towns, a real Harry. You know that expression? If you don't know the expression, I'm not going to explain it, okay? He was, really, he didn't know the technology, he didn't know the modern world, and he took a ride on a train, and in the train there were some, you know, jokesters, and they wanted to pull a prank on the farmer, and he said, farmer, you're going to the big city in overalls? It's ridiculous, they're going to laugh at you, you look absurd, where are you from? You need to put on Big Day Shabbos when you go to the big city. He says, Big Day Shabbos? They're in my suitcase. How am I supposed to put on Big Day Shabbos? They said, well, the good thing is, the train is soon going to be driving through a very, very, very long tunnel. And when it drives through the tunnel, it's going to be pitch black. When the train drives through the tunnel, you quickly open up your suitcase, you take off your regular overalls, and you change into Big Day Shabbos. And then eventually we'll come out of the tunnel, and you'll have the privacy you need. The farmer said, great idea. A few minutes later, he sees the mountain, he sees the tunnel, and they're about to go on. They say, yeah, this is it, this is it. So they go through the tunnel. He removes his overalls. He removes his intervesh, as they say, yeah? The only thing is, the tunnel was not as long as he anticipated. And within a very brief amount of time, the sun is shining, kiyotze kechupasai. The sun is shining, vehu kechatsa and yotze mechupasai in broad daylight. And they had a good laugh. Says the Heiliger Chafetz Chaim, People think this world is a long, long tunnel. And they take off Yirat Shamayim, and they take off the Begadim of Torah. They figure they'll change back into their Big Day Shabbos before the tunnel is over. The problem is how often the tunnel ends before you ever get a chance to put on your Big Day Shabbos. And when Rabbi Chanan heard the end of the joke, the end of the mashal, that the guy's standing there without his overalls, and he's standing there, Eroim ve'erya va'at misbaiseses b'damayich, Rabbi Chanan laughed. This was one of the three times that Rabbi Chanan laughed. So, according to Bar Kapara, laughter has a place. The place is, lefi the shita of Rabbi Akiva, when you see the success of the nations of the world, when you see, let's say, the victors of the World Cup, you see how much simcha they're in, you see how much happiness they have, you're allowed to laugh. You're allowed to say, im la'ovrei ritzoinoi kach, la'oisei ritzoinoi alachas kama v'kama. And at first, we could say Rebbe didn't understand Bar Kapara, but ultimately, when Bar Kapara said him, "La'ovrei ritzoinoi kach, la'oisei ritzoinoi alachas kama," Rebbe invited him to the party. So maybe that means that Rebbe really agrees with Bar Kapara, as the Tzaddik Ranana says, "V'haya ekev tishma'un," that before you start learning, "Kaidem esek batayra," you should be besimcha. Rav Shlomo Kluger says at the end of the shir, you should also have a good joke, like it says, not only sasim bevayam, but smeichem betseisam, smeichem betseisam, v'sasim bevayam. But you can't just come to the shir for the joke in the beginning and the joke in the end. It's a good idea also to have some memory of what took place between the Pesachinu Megadims of the beginning of the shir and the end of the shir. That's also important. Because even whether you hold mitzvah gedoyla, liyos besimcha tamid, definitely while you're learning and you're ivdu es Hashem besimcha. Have a great night, everyone. Shkoyach.
You gotcha. You gotcha.
Yeah, right.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.